The Apostle Paul says, if I speak in tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, which is somewhat surprising. Because when it's time to hand out instruments in middle school band, the line for the cymbals is twice as long as any other. That we all want to be the loudest noise in the room. But then later on in life, when the grandparents give your children a drum set and the only room in the house where it fits is the main room where everyone gathers, you understand what Paul was talking about. Because love is not always the loudest noise in the room. It does not seek attention. It does not dominate a situation. It never overpowers. That it is patient and kind. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And we do not define love. Love defines us. Now we might be surprised what we find in the life of Jesus. Because as much as we might prefer, love is not always agreeable, certain, or something we can measure. That love is not always agreeable, because there are times when Jesus is more honest than compliant. Like when he tells that certain ruler, there's still one thing lacking, sell all that you own and distribute the money to the poor. And love is not always certain, having the answer to every question. Like when Jesus was asked about the time, but Jesus says, the day and the hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, only the Father. And then love is not something we can measure or achieve. Like when Jesus was asked to turn a stone into bread, but he said, one does not live by bread alone. That love is more honest, humble, and trusting than it is agreeable, certain, or measurable. That love is simply a lived commitment to what never ends. That our mistakes, they will end, but forgiveness does not. That our brokenness will not last forever, but compassion will. And our hope, it might falter, but God's faithfulness does not. It can help to brush up against that love that never ends in somebody else. Years ago, I met Don when I was gathering with a group of young people the first Saturday of every month to cook lunch for a community ministry in town. That we spent several hours cooking chicken sandwiches a side of corn, and a side of fruit salad. And then we drove it over to the community ministry, and Don was always there to greet us at the door. When I first met him, it was a handshake. But over the years, it became a hug. That Don ran the kitchen, and he gave us our directions, and then you watched him walk around the room, embracing anyone and everyone who was there. That he just seemed to have longer arms than the rest of us. I later learned that Don's ministry was born out of his struggles when he needed that community ministry because he didn't have a place to stay and he was battling addictions. But when you watched Don embrace others, it was unmistakable. You saw what never ends. And when we see that in somebody else, it can inspire us and it can confuse us. Like when Jesus returned home to the region of Galilee where he grew up, and he stood up in the synagogue amongst those people that knew him as Mary and Joseph's boy because they watched him grow up, and he knew the names of the people in that room, and he unrolled the scroll of Isaiah to read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free." And then Jesus added, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And you could see it in everybody's eyes. They were thrilled. They were so excited that this hometown boy had come to them, bringing them good news. But Jesus could tell what they were thinking. And he was honest with them. He said, "No doubt you will quote to me that proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself,' as in, cure your people." But Jesus wanted to be absolutely clear about the love of God. So he made sure they knew it was for everyone, Jew and Gentile alike. Well, they were angry. They were furious, so much so that they went to throw him off a cliff. That they had always expected good news to be brought to them. And when Jesus said it was for everyone, they misunderstood. That they thought that somehow, some way, that meant they were left out. That they lost something in the process. And I guess we can understand how this happens when we think about God's love for everyone. Even our enemies, people who want to do us harm, it does not make sense to us to think, if God loves me, how can God care for the one who wants to do me harm? That when the circle widens, it seems as if the love of God is divided up amongst more and there's less to go around. But the secret is, when the circle widens, God's love grows as well because it is endless. that God's love for me becomes God's love for us. And the community we might share. Preachers throughout history have tried different ways and tactics to drive this point home, some of them better than others. There's this infamous story about a chapel service at Mercer University in the 1960s. The preacher was a professor in the Christianity department and felt convicted to challenge the students and faculty and everyone in attendance to think about the needs of the poor. So he stood up in the pulpit and he spoke eloquently and with great challenges, trying to paint this picture of the pain and suffering of others, those that deal with the burden of poverty and how that affects their lives in so many ways, week in and week out, hoping that people would step into that picture, put on other people's shoes and get a sense of what it was like and feel genuine, sincere empathy. But he really wanted to drive this point home. So he did what others have done. He tried to shock everybody that right there in the middle of the sermon, he used an expletive. And you could feel the room jump back. How could that be said in this room? Well, he did it so he could then say, "You're probably more shocked that I used that word than you are about the needs of the poor." That is one approach. It's not mine. For one, it's usually used by a guest preacher. But I think there's a better approach. Because as beautiful as the love of God is, when it goes about stretching us, if we are honest, it is extremely hard work. So I think it's better to point out the gift that we discover when we embrace others with God's love. Because whenever we extend our arms around others with the love of God, in that very moment, we feel the arms of God's love around us. That mysterious, powerful, life-giving, life-saving love that defines who we are, holding us close and bringing hope to this world. Amen.